The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
And let's read from the first verse to the third verse. Isaiah chapter 61, I will read from the New American Standard Version of the Scriptures. Here begins the reading of God's Word. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The fourth verse. Then he will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise, we give you all the glory. We thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your loving kindness towards us. We thank you because this day, this scripture is being fulfilled, has been fulfilled, and is being fulfilled. Heavenly Father, we pray, you said in us, you shall restore the generation of ancient generations. Therefore, we pray that the sour grapes our fathers have eaten shall not set our teeth on edge, neither set the teeth of our descendants on edge. We pray, Heavenly Father, that even as we are in 5779 and we entered into this year, 5779, on the ninth day of the ninth month of the Gregorian calendar, embracing a 2019 year, this is the season of alignments. We thank you for divine alignments. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you bring all our lives into alignment with your times, with your seasons, with your purposes, and with all that you have ordained concerning us. And wherever we are out of alignment, individually, corporately, as a body, as a church, now, Heavenly Father, even as a sound goes out from here, that our heavens and the earth, heavens and this place, heavens and our lives, heavens and our families shall be, will come into divine alignment with you, O God, so that your will can be done and your purposes executed. I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that your counsel for their lives shall stand. Your predetermined purposes shall be fleshed out and shall come into the fullness of manifestation. And because this is a year of fruitfulness, that every life shall yield the fruit of righteousness to you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated in his wonderful presence. I thank God for every single one of you and for what God is doing in and through FEM Foundation. I thank God that through this house, a mighty army of God is being mobilized, because I keep on seeing a mobilizing anointing to mobilize this last day army of God and to raise and to train a formidable army that will not break their ranks. As you often hear me say, you are the generation that the Lord is depending upon. to provide leadership for Nigeria and to bring about systemic reformation and transformation to the nation. All over Nigeria, there's a narrative that is being played out about a new Nigeria. I don't think there's anything like a new Nigeria, but I think there's something like a renewed Nigeria or a reformed Nigeria. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth. Between verse 1 and verse 2, because verse 2 says the earth was without form and void, darkness was over the face of the deep, and then the Spirit was hovering over the waters, and God said, let there be light. And the Bible says the Spirit moved over the face of the waters and began to bring a molecular reformation, to bring or to reform the earth. In between verse 1, do we have scriptures? Can you put Genesis 1 on the screen? And so as the Spirit of God moved, in between verse 1 and verse 2 is what we call the gap theory, millions of years. So there's millions of years, if not billions, between verse 1 and verse 2. God never created, Isaiah tells us that he never created the earth a formless waste. But something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. Satan was kicked out of heaven. Satan came to the earth and brought chaos, confusion, and darkness. God is a God of light, not of darkness. God is a God of order, not of confusion. So that chaos was caused by Satan coming and invading the earth realm and bringing confusion. So when God spoke and said, let there be light, God was not creating the earth. He was reforming the earth. He was reforming the earth. So we believe that as the Spirit of God begins to move over Nigeria, God will begin to reform Nigeria. The secondary scripture that I want to read to you is in 1 Chronicles chapter 1. We can use the New American or we can use the King James Version, whichever. Can we go to 1 Chronicles chapter 1? First Chronicles chapter 1 reads as follows. It's giving the genealogy from Adam. So it says, Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it continues on. And when I was much younger in the faith, the things that I considered the most boring in the reading of the scriptures were the genealogies. And by the time you read one page of genealogies, you're tired or you've fallen asleep and you just skip over and move on. And you always hear some spirit telling you, oh, it's not important. So we just move on. But as I began to grow up in the Lord, and as I began to study, and because I studied theology, I realized that the Bible is fully inerrant, and every word of the original scriptures was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So all scripture is written by the inspiration of the Spirit and is God-breathed, profitable for doctrine, instruction, and so on and so forth. So I began to query God. There must be a reason why God would get us so bored with all these genealogies that he has written in his word. Why write all those genealogies? And then as I began to grow up in him and grow in understanding, I began to understand why God will begin to put some of these genealogies and bore us with them, so to speak. But understand that genealogies mean the logos of the genes or the logos of the genetics. This God that we serve is a transgenerational God. He's the God of Abraham, he's the God of Isaac, and he's the God of Jacob. When he's talking to Abraham, he's talking to Abraham and he's speaking to the seed, because he's God that calls the end from the beginnings. He declares the end from the beginnings. When he's talking to you, he's talking to you about the generations that are supposed to come out of you. So when he's speaking to Abraham, he's speaking to the seed in Abraham's loins and the generations. One of the reasons why he chose Abraham is because he chose Abraham and he said, I know Abraham, he shall command his children after me. So he understood that there was a divine, Abraham understood there was a divine purpose on his life. Abraham understood because God had taken him up into the night sky and showed him the stars of the sky and said, so shall your seed be. Spoke to him about the sand on the seashore and said, so shall your seed be. This was a man that could not have children, but God is speaking to him about his seed. His name was Abram before, which means exalted father. And then God changes and adds his name by covenant relationship to Abram to become Abraham. And then Abraham's name changes from exalted father. And at that time, you can imagine the contradiction in Abraham's life, because God is calling him exalted father and he doesn't have any children. Are you with me? But such is God. If you're going to walk with God, you need to be able to walk through the contradictions of life, because you're going through a negative thing and God is speaking to you about a positive thing. Are you with me? Are you with me? And so this God is speaking to Abraham about all the generations that are going to come out of his loins, of which you and I are part of those generations, because by faith we are the seed of Abraham. And so generations are God's basic building block of any purpose or anything that he wants to do. Generation, the ration of genetics. So in every generation, there is a purpose. There is some things. There's something called a legacy, a redemptive purpose on every family in the earth. God didn't just create families for family's sake. So every family that he created had a purpose. If you are going to be useful to God, then you must find out what the legacy or the redemptive purpose of God upon your life as part of a family is, spiritually and biologically. Just like some of you look like your father or your mother, somehow all of you have the characteristics of your father or your mother. Some look more like your father, some of you look more like your mothers. Are you with me? Why? Because you are created out of their genes. So inside you are chromosomes in your DNA that the scrolls of God, the purposes of God, are encoded in your DNA. Are you with me? Yes, sir. So God is saying in Isaiah 61 I will restore with you, I will restore the desolation of ancient what? Generations. Because those generations may have deviated from the divine plan, purpose that God had for those families in the earth. Because God's basic building block of every society is family. The first building block of the earth, of the families of the earth, was Adam and Eve. There was a purpose for Adam and Eve. There were things God had endowed purpose upon them. Adam, be blessed. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue. And have dominion. And then he takes Adam and puts Adam in an ordered place called the Garden in Eden. Remember, the whole earth had been reformed, but there was confusion, there was darkness, and there was chaos. And God takes a location in the earth, and the Bible says he plants a garden. Then he takes the man and he puts the man in the garden. Why in the garden and not somewhere else in the earth? Then he gives the man a sense of purpose. Tend and keep this garden. This is the place where his glory is. So in other words, he's saying, manage the glory. Protect the glory. Keep predators out and keep the glory intact. And the garden is an ordered place. Now understand that when you're reading the book of Genesis, the genetics. Genesis has the genetics of every principle that is going to be fleshed out in the scriptures. And so we read a lot of principles and universal laws in the book of Genesis. The first thing we understand, is that God is a seed God. Everything he does starts with a seed. He didn't just throw out trees. He planted a seed of every tree, a seed of every fish, a seed of everything, and blessed them and commanded them to multiply. So we find the law that the seed of everything is in itself. Then we find another law. He commanded that everything should reproduce after its kind. Then we find another law, that there is seed time and there is harvest time. And everything is commanded to bring forth fruit. And everything was good. So he blesses Adam and says, Adam, be fruitful. Now understand that man is essentially a product of his environment. So he doesn't put Adam in the chaos. He puts Adam in an ordered environment where the glory is residing. So that because Adam is a product of his environment, he could begin to see the order of the glory. He could begin to see the administration of the glory. And he could understand how the glory works so that he could take the glory that is in the garden and take it out of the garden and reproduce the glory in every other part of the earth that was subject to chaos and confusion. So it brings us to another law. It's the law of entropy. The law of entropy states that everything left to itself will gravitate towards entropy. If you leave a plant in your garden, it becomes a flower or a little plant, grows up into a tree, and then if you leave it, that tree will produce so many other trees that your garden will become a forest. So everything left to itself gravitates towards lawlessness. If you don't leave your, if you don't exert or discipline on your child, the child will gravitate towards lawlessness. Touch your neighbor and say, everything left to itself gravitates towards lawlessness. That brings us to another law. That means a force has to be applied to everything to keep it within law. So when he blessed Adam, he said, Adam, learn of the glory in this garden. Imbibe the glory. Understand how it works. Then take this glory and go out and spread this glory into the rest of the world that is in full of chaos and confusion. And to do that, you're going to have to subdue. You're going to have to exert force to bring everything back, the chaos back into order, the darkness back into the light. And then basically Adam's commission was to take the glory of the garden and multiply it in the earth, for which he said, be fruitful or fulfill purpose. Which brings us to another law. Everything multiplies. So when God blessed him, he said, be fruitful and what? Multiply. Touch your neighbor and say, everything multiplies. So Adam was more supposed to multiply the fruit of the garden and replenish the earth with that fruit. And that word be fruitful means bring forth purpose. Somehow Adam sinned. And we find that Adam was made in the likeness of the image of God. But because of the fall from glory into sin, when Adam had children, the Bible tells us Adam had children in the likeness of his own image. So he's now reproducing and multiplying himself and no longer God. Because the law is everything reproduces after its own kind. Everything multiplies after its own kind. So he began to multiply people after his own image and no longer after the image of God. Such that by the time we get to Genesis chapter 6, wickedness has multiplied. The wrong fruitfulness. Because now Adam has lost the glory. He's not bringing back the fruit of God. He's bringing wrong fruitfulness. Is multiplying on the face of the earth. So by the time we get to Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says wickedness. Can we put Genesis chapter 6 verse 1 up? Wickedness has multiplied. Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land, the daughters were born to them. Next verse. That the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. Who were the sons of God? Those were the fallen angels. So the fallen angels came down and began to procreate with the women, the daughters of men. And they started producing freaks called the Nephilim. Because now the whole earth is multiplying Adam's wrong fruitfulness. Because the blessing was be fruitful. But because he got the wrong fruit, he was multiplying the wrong fruit. So by Genesis chapter 8, God comes down. Because there's one man in a generation that was a preacher of righteousness called Noah. That God said, wickedness has multiplied over the face of the earth, so I'm going to send a flood to cleanse the land and to wipe out the wickedness from the earth, and I will start again with a man that I have found righteous called Noah, in the hope that he can now begin to reproduce and multiply the fruit of righteousness. So what had happened? Their generations had gone askew. They had lost their purpose because Adam missed it. So God has to start again with Noah. And don't forget, some of Noah's sons witnessed the wickedness in the earth before the flood. So the seed of that corrupt fruit went with them into the ark. And Noah had three sons: Shem, the Semitic people from whom the Jews and Jesus was going to come through; Ham, the progenitor of the Africans; and Japheth, the progenitor of the Europeans. But the line that God knew that he needed to preserve as holy would be the lineage of Shem. Because from that lineage, Judah would come. From that lineage, Jesus would come. So it was very important, the things that the progenitors and the generators in that lineage needed to understand, just as much as everybody needed to else. Shem, Japheth and Shem needed to understand. Because God is a God of generations. He rations out genes in each generation. And many of the generations had gone askew. I'll give you another example. There was a tribe of Dan. Dan was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, the covenant man. But in the wilderness, when they missed God, and God sent a plague, and they were being stung by serpents in the wilderness, Moses cried to God, and God said to Moses, build us a pole with a serpent made of brass on top of the pole, so that when they all look at that serpent on the pole, they will be healed. So Moses did that. And as many people as were bitten by the Bible calls them fiery serpents. As many people as were bitten by those serpents looked on that pole, they got healed. So history tells us that the tribe of Dan took custody of that pole with the brazen serpent. Somehow they deviated, and the Bible tells us in the books of Kings and Chronicles that they now started to worship that serpent. And history tells me that some of those people who were black people left the tribe of Dan as black Jews, came down through Egypt, came down through Nigeria, and went and settled in a nation that they called Dahomey. Dahomey meaning Dan, serpent, the womb of the serpent, or the home of Dan. So when you get to Revelations, the tribe of Dan is the missing tribe. They're not listed in the 12 tribes. They have missed their destiny and their purpose, locked out of the commonwealth of Israel and their inheritance because they worshipped the serpent. Check in the book of Revelation, the tribe of Dan is the missing tribe. He's not there amongst the 144,000 that will be sealed because they worshipped the serpent. The point I am making is, over the years, things may have gone wrong with our destinies because our fathers, fathers' fathers, did not understand the divine legacies and purposes of God for which he brought them into the earth. So Isaiah 61 is saying, now I want to restore the desolation that has transpired in the generations. And he wants to do it, touch your neighbor and say, through you. To bring all the families back into alignment with the purpose for which he rationed some genes of himself inside them, called their DNA or their genetics. That's why it's very important to read the genealogies, because the kingdom of God is built on sonship. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And when you study the scriptures, every son was known by his father. Jesus, the son of David. James, the son of Zebedee. So every son was known by his father, because every son had a ration of the genetics from his father. So you're not known by yourself. You're known by your father. Such that when Joseph went into Egypt and Pharaoh saw that Joseph was a bad boy, that anything Joseph did, it worked. Pharaoh told him and asked him, who is your father? Because he wanted to see what kind of father this kind of great man had. Because he understood that the greatness of a son is by the father. Because the kingdom of heaven is built on sonship. That's why Jesus said, I say nothing except that which the Father tells me to say. And I do nothing except that which the Father tells me to do. That's why Jesus would say, I must be about my Father's business. And if you check the Greek, that word business is a mistranslation. That word business comes from a Greek word that means father. So what was Jesus saying? I must be about my father. Nobody was allowed to participate in the building process of the restoration of Jerusalem in the time of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Haggai unless they could prove their genealogy. Nobody could participate in the priestly work of the tabernacles unless they could prove that their names They were descendants of Aaron. And anybody who would work in the building process also had to prove that they were part of the Levitical families. Their names had to be written in the genealogies. So if you don't have a genealogy, you can't participate in the building of the kingdom of God on earth. Because a son is known by his father. And we're in such a decadent generation that everybody's in a hurry to break away from their fathers to do what they perceive to be their own thing. And if you break away with the wrong protocols and you do it the wrong way, then all you can start is Bastard Ministries International. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth and disciplineth every son he receives. And if you refuse to be disciplined, then you are not sons, you are bastards. Galatians chapter 4. You better put it on so you don't believe that I'm telling you. I'm not a fabu pastor. Can I go a little bit? So in Chronicles, they had to chronicle the genealogies so everybody could know who they are, because a son gets his identity from a father. That's why all of you fathers and mothers, when your son starts hitting 13 onwards, you've got to spend time with them. Because a son learns his identity from his father. And when I say spending time, I'm talking about quality time. Because the more you spend time with them, the more there's an impartation of who and an understanding of who they are. Most of the generations today don't know who they are. And somebody that doesn't understand his identity is double-minded in all his ways. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Are you with me? Our fathers backed commands against us. Do this, do that. Have you done your homework? But they never spent quality time. Unlike, let's just say, for example, an Englishman. He would say to his son, "Son, let's go fishing." Not because they're going to catch any fish, but because they're going to spend time bonding together. You can spend time with your mother, but you don't get identity from a mother. You get identity from a father. And a son who does not have identity from a father is lost in life. He doesn't know who he is. He has no direction in life. Touch the man next to you and say, "Father, spend time with your sons." We have a whole problem. We have a whole problem in the Bible of sons that were lawless. Eli did not raise his sons well. Samuel was adopted by Eli. And so Eli could not father Samuel because he himself was not a good father. God had to kill his sons. Samuel raises up Saul. Raises up David. David has his own set of problems apart from being a womanizer. He wasn't a good father. So all his sons, Absalom, slept with his father's concubines on the rooftop. Amnon, his son, raped his own sister, David's daughter. And then later, Absalom killed Amnon. Not to talk about Uncle Solo. Solo was a bionic man. He had exponential multiplication. David had 10 concubines, Solomon had 1,000. 1,000. There are only 365 days in a year. So if Solomon was going to do the annual circuit, every night he had to sleep with a different woman, it would take him 3 years to do the rounds. And in those days, there was no Viagra. I don't know whether he was eating pawpaw leaves or what. But that's how dysfunctional the generations can become. And God wants to begin to set the generations in order. Because every generation has a message. The message, every generation has a message. Every family has a message. What is the message of your family? What is the message of God for you to your generation? So let's go to Chronicles 1. Now give me the King James instead of the New American Version. So I hope from today you will study genealogies. Because the genealogies have the DNA of your message to the generation. First Chronicles 1, please. So it starts. Adam begot Seth. Seth begot Enosh. Enosh begot Kenan. Kenan begot Mahalel. Mahalel begot Jared. Jared begot Enoch. And Enoch walked with God, and he was no more. But before that, Enoch begot Methuselah. Methuselah begot Lamech. And Lamech begot Noah. And you find that out of all of them, it was Methuselah that lived the longest, more than any of them. As a message of God's long suffering and mercy. Because Methuselah means when he is dead, the judgment shall be sent. So the day Methuselah would die was the day the floods would be released. So Methuselah had to live the longest to demonstrate God's long suffering and God's mercy to his people. Touch your name and say, your name is supposed to be a message to your generation. So can I have 10 people? 10 people. 10 people. Face me, form a line, face me this way. Face me. 10 people. So you're going to pretend you're a man. Your name is Lamech. Hold it. What's your name? Lamech. Look at the card. Lamech. No? Turn it around. Lamech. Your name is Seth. Okay? You're Seth. And you are God. What's your name? God. Look at it. Turn it around. God. That's your name. And your name is Methuselah. And your name is Enosh. And your name is Jared. Say, I am Jared. What's your name?
I am Jared.
Jared.
And your name is Mahalel.
Mahalel.
And your name is Noah. Uncle Noah. And your name is Kenan. And your name is Enoch. I need one more person. This way. And you are Adam. I want you to mention your names. What's your name?
Lamen.
Lamen.
Seth.
Seth.
God.
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 This is your name.
God.
What's your name?
Methuselah.
And what's your name?
Mahalaya.
And what's your name?
Jared.
Jared. And what's your name?
Enosh.
And what's your name?
Noah.
And what's your name?
Kenan.
Kenan. And what's your name?
Enoch.
And what's your name?
Adam.
Okay. Put the cards on your chest with your names on it so everybody can see your names. No, you're doing the wrong thing. So here we have Lamech, Seth, God, Methuselah, Mahalel, Jared, Enosh, Noah, Canaan, Enoch, Adam. On the flip side of the cards, I have written the meanings of the names. So turn your card, you turn your card the other way. What's the meaning of your name?
Those in despair.
Turn your card the other way. What's the meaning of your name?
Is appointed.
The God.
The God. What's the meaning of your name?
His, my death shall bring
the glory of God. The glory of God.
The glory of God. And what's the meaning of your name?
Shall come down.
Shall come down.
A mortal man of.
A mortal man of.
Comfort and rest.
Comfort and rest.
Sorrow is born.
Sorrow is born.
Instructing that.
Instructing that?
Man.
Man. Okay. So now let's read all of them fast. Those in despair is appointed the God. His death shall bring the glory of God, shall come down a mortal man of comfort and rest. Sorrow is born, instructing that man. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Do you want me to read it again? Those in despair is appointed the God, that shall, his death shall bring the glory of God, shall come down a mortal man of comfort and rest. Sorrow is born, instructing that man. What does that mean? It means that all these generations have brought confusion to the world. Because there's no clear sound, there is no clear message. So they're just bringing confusion to the world. And rather than bringing order, because the assignment was to bring order of fruitfulness, but now they're not bringing the order of fruitfulness, they're bringing the order of confusion. And how many generations? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11! All bringing confusion that Isaiah 61 says is desolation. Touch your neighbor and say, bring your life back into alignment. Bring your life back into purpose. Bring your life back into God's original intent and purpose for it. The one prayer that we Nigerians should be praying is, what is the purpose of God for my life? Not give me my daily bread. You don't need the daily bread when you don't have a purpose to use the bread for. First Chronicles 1. So now let's put it back in order. First Chronicles 1, please. Verse 1. So the first person was Adam. Who's Adam? So Adam, come here. The second person, and Adam begot Seth. Who's Seth? Seth, come there. And Seth begot Enoch. Keep it as Seth, the names. Seth begot Enosh. Who's Enosh? Enosh. And let's see your name. And Enosh begot Canaan. Canaan. And let's see your name. And Canaan begot Mahalel. Mahalel. Touch your neighbor and say, we're restoring the desolation of ancient generations. And Mahalel begot Jared. Jared, you're being restored. And Jared begot Enoch. And Enoch begot Methuselah. And Methuselah begot Lamech. And Lamech begot Noah. And who was the father of them all? God. God, take your place. God, bless us. Move down a bit. So now, the desolation of ancient generations is restored. So we have God, the creator of everybody, who created Adam. And Adam begot Seth. And Seth begot Enosh. And Enosh begot Canaan. And Canaan begot Mahalel. And Mahalel Jared. And then Jared Enoch. Then Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. What is the meaning of your name? The God. What's the meaning of your name? The God man. Turn it around. The God man is appointed. What's the meaning of your name?
A mortal man of.
Sorrow is born.
The glory of God
shall come down. Instructing that his death shall bring those in despair comfort and rest. Let's read it again. The God man is appointed. Who's the God man? Jesus. The God man is appointed. A mortal man. He became mortal. A mortal man. Sorrow is born. He was born a man of sorrows. Sorrow is born. And the glory of God shall come down, instructing that his death shall bring those in despair comfort and rest. So every generation has a message of God to that generation. And these generations, there's a message. So it was important that God, every man named his children with the right name. Because a child carries a message. God named him Adam, man. And man, Adam named him, is appointed. You're appointed as a representative of my son, Jesus, who will become a mortal man, who will become a man of sorrows, born into the earth, who is the express image of the glory of God. And he shall come down, giving instructions that his death shall bring comfort, shall bring those in despair comfort and rest. And if you name him wrong, if you name him Eshubi, yes, I knew a man that used to be called Mr. Eshubi. Yes. At that time, he was a vice principal of Igbobi College, Lagos. Eshubi. So if you name the child wrong, Odu. And Odu is an oracle. There's some people who are, whose surname is Ifakoya. And Ifa is the oracle of Ifa. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Ifaturoti. So the name you give your children is so important, because that name represents the message of God to their generation. And if they had given any of these the wrong names, the message of God of salvation would have been distorted and spoilt. Think about it. If Adam had named, or if one of them had named their children the wrong way in the lineage of Christ, the message of Christ would have been distorted. And when you study the genealogy of Christ in Luke chapter 1, and he lists the branch, every name has a meaning, which is part of the story of salvation. 52 names in the generation of Christ, and each name had a message. Each message was an assignment. So when you put all the 52 names together, it talks about the Lord. You can get back into your place. Will have compassion on the men coming from the earth, and he would raise up a comforter for them that will bring forgiveness a second time into the earth for their comfort. Ask your neighbor, what is your message to your generation? Ask them again, what name did your father call you as compared to what name did your father in heaven call you? Number two, because I said God is a tri-generational God, every parent had to have an understanding from God what the name of their children will be. Because any mistake would distort God's message of salvation. Number two, every father had to make sure they will bring up their son in the understanding of the message they're supposed to be, so that they can fulfill the message, so that the next person can come in line. Because if this guy messed up, then it means all these have messed up, and their destinies are postponed until God can recalibrate everything to put things back into their normal order. And when that calibration takes place, it could take how many generations? 40? If a generation is 40 years, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 times 40, 280. 280 years for restoration to take place. By which time, all of us would be dead. Which means we'd have missed our purpose, because one father mismanaged and misnamed his son. That's why don't criticize your fathers, pray for them. So that means one whole generation, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 generations are wiped out without purpose, because one man missed it and therefore brought misalignment to the rest of them. Unless somehow one was born like Noah and says, Noah, I'm going to be righteous. The Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness in a perverse generation. Everybody ridiculed Noah. That's why the Bible says that the last days are going to be like the days of Noah, when people were eating and drinking and having sex. But one man against a whole generation stood for righteousness. And now Nigeria is looking for one man that will stand for righteousness. One woman that will stand for righteousness. Because if Noah can bring a restoration of the desolation of generations, then just one person who will stand for righteousness can bring the restoration of the desolation of generations. Because you will name your child right. You will train your child right to fulfill his message for the generation, so that when he stands in his place, the rest of them that are living souls in heaven can be born into the earth to continue where she left off. And she can continue where he left off. And she can continue where she left off. And she can continue where she left off. And Lamech can continue where Methuselah left off. And Noah can continue where Lamech left off. So when you read genealogies again, never take them for granted, because somewhere in there is a scroll that has your destiny and your life in it. Please stand to your feet. Let's begin to pray in the spirit. Lift up your hands, let's begin to pray. Isaiah 61:4. I will restore the desolation of ancient generations. All of you here, you are a righteous seed of God that he wants to plug into the line, so that you can begin to correct things that have gone wrong generationally, so that you can now begin to bring and stop the abortion and of God's promises and the postponement of destiny, because your destiny can be postponed. Remember what happened when it was time for them to enter into their promised land. Remember, and 10 spies said there were giants in the land, and the whole of Israel refused to enter the land. Their destiny was postponed for 40 years. And we don't have another 40 years. Lift up your hands and begin to pray. God, I will take my stand in my genealogy. I will understand my genealogy, so that through me, the desolation of generations past can be restored. Heavenly Father, as I lift up my hands in prayer, I'm bringing my generations and my descendants back into line with your purposes. Lift up your voice and begin to pray in the spirit. Lebrosos kebriande isha tahayas likoria tai kape kakumataya liroski mali imandiria kaparandos. Come on, I need you to pray with me. Nishamatai kamonde hishtaha. Ilende liata kaparanda haya. Luske me briando. Baranda zeska katalima. Maparande le brosonde. Ishatai kaparende ishe. Ilende ishatuma katai kaparende. Ele briando lo broske braande ishamataya. Mandele de boske.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499, or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.